Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise your name. Oh, what a privilege, God, to be your children. To know that you love us, God. Oh, worthy is your name today, God. So worthy. Oh, praise to you, Father. All praise to you, Jesus, and all thanks to you, Holy Spirit. Oh, the three in one. Jesus. What a great Lord, eh? Isn't Jesus awesome? Hallelujah. Never gets old, you know. Some of you have done this longer than I have, but, you know, to get together with God's people and just be able to put our attention on Jesus, there's nothing like it. Nothing like it. And I don't know about you, but I need it. And more so now in this generation do we ever have recognized and realized how much we need it. And so grateful to God. Praise his name. Well, we've been doing a series on Sunday school stories, and this morning my wife is going to begin today's sermon. She preaches better than me, so I'll come up and close it, but today's the big meal, and because it's the big meal, the kids downstairs, if you have kids down there today, they get a Happy Meal card from McDonald's in conjunction with the big meal. So, you know, if you can't afford to go with them, then I could foot the bill for you. So that's what's happening downstairs as they follow along with us. But love it. Next week, Kevin and Julia Garrett will be here with us. If you don't know who they are, they're missionaries that were imprisoned in China for over 2 years. And we've been supporting them for quite a few years as a church family. And they're going to come through here on their way to a wedding, and have desired to come and share what God's doing. So that's awesome. That's next week. But today, over to you.
So we're tag teaming today. This week we just celebrated 37 years wedding anniversary. I gotta say, I've got the best teammate. I couldn't ask for more, so that's to you. And he is a better preacher than I am. I just stand by him, make him look good. So this week, we're going to be talking about one of my favorite stories that I grew up with. For those of you that don't know, I'm fourth generation Pentecostal. I was raised and born, even before I was born, I was in church. My grandpa, my great-grandpa, my dad had awesome stories of the old camp meetings out in the prairies with the sawdust and people being slain in the spirit. I used to love listening to his stories. So my grandparents, my mom and dad, I learned all those stories in the Bible. But my favorite one has to be the one about Jesus feeding the 5,000. And if another thing that you might not know about me is that I'm a preschool teacher, and I have the awesome privilege to teach in a Christian school. So I have the awesome privilege to teach these stories to 3- and 4-year-olds. And I love the look on their faces when I teach. Their eyes get round, and when I do the story about the feeding of the 5,000, I have the basket. We actually have little bread buns. They almost look real. A few of the kids have tried to take a bite out of them, only to find out they're not real. And we have plastic fish. I don't bring real fish into the classroom, but they love to see those props. If I had them, I would have brought them today. But, yeah, they love the story of the feeding of the 5,000. And I remember this year when I was teaching them, their eyes were as round as saucers. And one little three-year-old little boy, he's my boisterous one, he's my loud one, he says to me, "Mrs. Phillips, did Jesus really do that?" And one little girl piped up and says, "Jesus can do anything." So even at that young age, they know. And I love it. And like I said, I remember growing up with the flannel board stories. Okay, I'm aging myself. But we hear all those stories. If you're like me growing up in the church, we hear those stories time and time again. But sometimes when we're not careful, those stories we've heard for a long time can lose their significance in becoming so common. We hear the words, but we don't really hear them. Maybe because we've heard them so much. And I was reminded of that this week as I was preparing, of just how amazing he is. And he's able to take the little bit we have that makes it so small and do mighty things. So let's just look at the scripture passages. And by the way, if you didn't know this, this story is found in all four Gospels. It's one of the, I think it's the only one that's found in all four Gospels. So to me, that means it's pretty important. So we're going to look at the one in Matthew. So if you have your Bibles, whether it's on your phone or in your Bible, Matthew 14 we're going to look at. So I'll just read from verse 14. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the village and buy themselves some food." But Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and he broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men besides women and children. And they say that there's probably more than 5,000. And I'd want to talk about some of the things that stuck out to me in this story. So here was Jesus. He was out on a boat. He had just lost his good friend, John the Baptist, who had been killed at the order of Herod. So he wanted to get away and just go to a quiet place. So he was out on the lake, and the people had followed him, and they were all on the shore. Yet Matthew 14:14 says, he had compassion on the people who had followed him. Even in the midst of his own grief, he still had love for the people. I don't know if you've been through a lot of grief. I have, and it envelopes you. You're stuck in a hole. You can't see anything out. But yet Jesus, here he was, grieving the loss of a really good friend, and he still had compassion, even in the midst of his own loss. He knew his time on earth was short, but he pressed it forward to do all that God had called him, even when it seems difficult. What about you? When things look difficult and you can't see your way through, do you press through? He's still the same. God is still the same today. He knows your pain. He knows your struggles. He knows your grief. He understands. He's never too busy. He knows your grief. I remember going through the death of my dad, and my brother had passed away just 6 months before my dad. And one day I came to the point where I said, God, I can't carry this anymore. And he said, you know what? I can be your dad now. You just climb onto my lap and I'll take care of you. So I think for some of you, you need to hear that this morning. You need to hear him say, climb into my lap and I will take care of you. The verse I had for this was that came to me, Psalm 34:18. He is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Jesus is bigger than any problem we face. When the disciples came to him with this problem that they didn't have enough food to feed everyone, and they were probably thinking, what are we going to do? There's all these people and not enough food. It's a big problem. And you know what he told them? He said, now you go feed them. In other words, you give them something to eat, verse 16. He encouraged them to look for a solution, to take their eyes off the problem and put their eyes on the answer. And that's what I think he tells us to do. Sometimes we're so consumed with the problem that we can't see any other thing, but know that he is the answer to our problems. He's still the answer to every problem. In a world filled with darkness and fear, I think the last 16 months have proved that. With all that we've gone through, he's the only solution. And he sends us out in his spirit, with his spirit and power. And he instructs us to be salt and light in a world, to give them something, the very bread of life, who can make a difference in somebody's life. All we got to do is step out. Sometimes it's so easy to be comfortable in our safe little spots. We want to stay where it's comfortable. I don't want to look out. I just want to stay where I am. But I encourage you to step out of that comfort zone this morning. Trust me, I was a very shy girl. I wouldn't talk to anybody. And now that's quite the difference. I was very, very shy. But I remember as a little 8-year-old girl at kids camp giving my heart to the Lord and saying, God, I want to do whatever you want. Come into my heart. My life has never been the same. So step out of that comfort zone. See what God has for you. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So his spirit in you is greater than whatever's out there. All you got to do is be available. Jesus asks us to bring everything that we have. He asked the disciples to give him what they had, verse 18. You see, this little boy, his mom, thought to pack him a lunch. 5 loaves and 2 fish. That wasn't very much back then. Maybe in our day, like a peanut butter sandwich. You know, there was no McDonald's out there, and there was no Wendy's, nothing like that. There was 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's all they had. The disciples, I think, would have thought Jesus was crazy. I mean, this could hardly feed one family. But yet they obeyed. They brought it all to him. And I think this single obedient thing ushered the way for Jesus to perform an amazing miracle story. And the truth is still the same today. Obedience paves the way for greater things to happen. He wants our hearts, not just a little bit, the whole thing. And great miracles can happen. Matthew 22:37. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. All of it. Jesus can bring blessing and life from what's broken. You may think, my life is not worth it. I've gone through a lot. I'm broken. But Jesus, the worker of miracles, the provider, took what the disciples gave, offered it before God. He gave thanks, and he blessed it and broke it. Verse 19. Such powerful words. Because we've walked through broken times, we know that however hard it is at the time, we know that there's great blessing on the other side. He offers our lives, broken pieces and all. He brings us before the Father. And that's the grace and favor that alone Jesus can bring. So fast forward some months, and there was another time Jesus gave thanks before the Father and broke bread with his disciples. It was the Last Supper. And it was the very picture of what he was willing to endure on our behalf. You and you and you and me. The brokenness of the cross, the blessing and the power of the resurrection. Matthew 26:26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples. And he said, "Take and eat. This is my body." Jesus multiplies whatever we give to him. And in this story, there was enough to feed all, which in reality was probably like 10 to 15,000 people if you count everyone. And it says they were satisfied, full, content. That's a lot of mouths to feed on such a little offering. But with God, it's enough. It was more than enough. And in our lives, when we feel inadequate, or what we have to offer seems so small, through Christ Jesus, it's enough. He makes it more than enough. He's able to multiply our efforts, our gifts, our offerings, and bring complete satisfaction to the very deepest parts of our souls. And one thing that caught my eye was that there were 12 baskets left over. Now, this is my summarization. It's not in the Bible, but this came to me. So there was 12 baskets left over and 12 disciples. Isn't that interesting? One basket for each disciple to carry out of there. Do you not think they would be reminded as they were carrying it that Jesus was enough? That they would have been renewed in their thinking. Their faith would have been renewed. I thought that was very interesting. And I want to end with the same verse that Rich started, Ephesians 3:20. He is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. So, praying today that no matter where you are in life, he would take what you offer to him, all your brokenness and pain, all your loss and short supply, all your inadequacies and doubt, that he would breathe his blessing, favor over it, multiply greatly what you have to offer. He is able. He's able to make it more than enough and to bring blessing to you and all those around. I'm so thankful that our God is a God of miracles, more than able.
Amen. You know, she actually has a multiplication story that she didn't share. But back in Williams Lake days, they had some soup that they needed multiplied, and it multiplied till they had enough for everybody. And here in Prince George, I'm going to say this because everybody that was there that day is in the room. So Wednesday Night Life, we used to have dinners and discipleship studies here at the church, and we used to feed people, and the beginning especially, we didn't know how many people would show up, so we just bought for whatever the averages were. And this particular time, we had bought for 30 people showing up, but bought for 40, and that night, of course, guess what happens? They just kept coming in, and we were like, what in the world are we going to do to feed these people, because we had chicken thighs, if I remember, at that time, and normally we'd give two, but we said right away we got to only give one, and there were still not enough chicken thighs to go around. And we were sort of musing this, and I believe it was this gal who said, let's pray. So she prays this prayer with all us guys around in a circle and says, God, would you multiply the food tonight? And there was nothing else. It was just peaceful after that, no worrying about it. And do you know that when the last person came up with their plate, the last piece of chicken thigh came out of the pan? There's no way. And so to actually have lived one of those moments was pretty amazing and grateful to God. And, you know, we so shorten our expectations and our faith in God at times. You know, God is able to do more than we could ever ask or imagine. His word is true. And when you think about that, you know, to him who is able, do we know who we believe in? Do we know who we believe in, who is in our life, who is over our life, and who's promised to never leave us or forsake us, to help us in everything in our lives? Do we know him? And do we know this God who can do more than we could, you know, far more abundantly than we could ever ask or imagine? Really, the Greek word there is super, super abundantly. It's like not just abundant, but super abundant. Look at that. She mentioned it. It was 5,000 men, so probably she, you know, roughly said 10,000 it could be. It was probably 15, 20,000, maybe a bit more. It's a lot bigger, and these weren't just huge loaves of bread. They were little buns for a guy's lunch and two little sardines. We're talking about a God who is able, and if God wants to do what he wants to do through your life, God will make it happen. We just have to avail ourselves, make ourselves available to God at all times. And I don't even want to think how many times I miss the opportunities during any given day for God to say, do this for me. And know that God will do it miraculously through my life. Beyond all, we extremely limit ourselves, don't we? When God is so unlimited. You know, Jesus said to them, you know, give them something to eat. And more often than not, and I'm throwing myself in there too, we often will say, well, God, let somebody else do it. You know, or God, if you really want it done, you do it. You know, but I'm not sticking my neck out. And let's be honest, it is an attitude that's common. You know, where we just maybe don't even, we've got to the point we don't even want to hear God tell us, ask us to do anything. We've got to be people of faith. We can't hold back on God. We've got to just say, God, here's my life. Here's my lunch. You know, this is all I have to offer, God. But whatever you can do with it, do it. And do it again. Right? Continually do it again, more great and powerful. Maybe we need to ask ourselves today some hard questions. Maybe we need to ask ourselves, what is the power that is at work within us? What's really the power in our lives? Is it my flesh? Is it my flesh or is it myself? Am I relying on my own strength in life? Am I living a life that is more selfish than it is selfless? Am I full of faith or am I full of fear? Am I full of hope or am I full of hopelessness? What have I settled for? What have I settled for in this life? And do I want to be found faithful, not faithless? These are hard questions, but they're real questions that we all face. We all have to come to grips with these things. Are we going to give our lives and surrender to God to use what little we have, or are we not? Are we going to let the next person try and do it? God is able to do more than we could ever ask, think, or imagine. From the lowest child to the oldest elder here, we never are untouchable or unusable by the God who has all power and all authority. And it's all for him, and it's all about him. Our lives are worship to him. You know, the miracle of the big meal demonstrated the presence of God. Do you know that your life and my life of faith can demonstrate the presence of God to a world who needs to know who Jesus is, how much he loves them, how much he has compassion towards them, and how much they need him, even though they may not know that at this time. Not him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to his power that works within us. Let me rephrase that, and would you take this personally? Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that you would ever ask or think, that you would ever ask or think, according to the power that works within you. That same power that raised Christ from the dead. Jesus was dead. Physically in his body, he was dead. He was buried. He was in the tomb. And a power unlike anything else, the power of the living God, the Holy Spirit, raised him up physically from the dead. And it's that same power that's in your life if you are a person of faith. You don't get a little divvy here and a little divvy there, that all that power is at work within you. God is able. God is more than enough. He's enough for your life to do amazing and wonderful and powerful, incredible things. Would you give, and would I give, the rest of our lives from this day forward back to a God who wants to use us to see lives multiplied for the kingdom of God in a powerful way? God, we love you. It's a beauty. You do call us to obedient life, God, and you do call us to lives of faith, and you do call us to lives that believe and trust you and know you're working in our lives. And personally, God, in each of our lives, when we go through the valleys and the shadows of death, and God, all the hardships and the trials and all the different things that happen in our life, God, we know you are God who's more than able. But God, that's not enough. You're looking for a people that you will just yield themselves to you and allow them to use their lives for greater purposes. And God, you don't leave us that way to fend for ourselves. You empower us as we bring our lives to you. As it were, we're bringing our lunch to you. And you do these amazing big things, God. So God, would you continue to use each of us, and would you continue to help us to build confidence in our life, the confidence that knows who we believe in, and we know he's at work within us, and we know that he's able to do more than we could ever ask or imagine, according to that power that is within us. God, bless each person here. God, wherever they're at in their journey of faith and life, would you intersect with them again today, God? Would you intersect with me? And God, would you lead us to greater things for your glory and for your honor? We praise you, God, and we love you. In Jesus, your wonderful name. Amen. Just want to ask you again, just to personally, just take a moment and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you and encourage you. And guys are going to lead us in a song about Jesus. And let's just commit ourselves once again to letting God use our lives and to build our lives up. Amen. Hallelujah. Paul. There you go. Don't forget, there's more water out there if you'd like to grab a bottle of water, cool off in this nice, beautiful day. And Lord bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen.